Today we are recording with my special guest visitor, Hildegard Grinnell, one of my shut-ins, and we'll continue with the Acts of the Apostles reading with chapter 3. While the lame man, who was now healed, clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them on the portico called Solomon's, astounded. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given this man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ should suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for this evening's sermon comes from the Acts of the Apostles reading that I read to you just a moment ago and serves as the basis of our theme for the third Sunday of Easter, all things through Christ Jesus. Life turns on a dime. Just when things were looking up and going well, things started to fall apart once again. Yes, the war in Iraq and Afghanistan went extremely well, and we were successful in accomplishing the objectives that were set, but now we see war after war exploding around the world, and the wars we fought to make us secure over 20 years ago seem to have been lost for all we gained initially. Sure, we survived COVID-19 and seem to be okay overall. Unfortunately, we have come to agree that there will always be various viruses and coronas to deal with. Just when we thought we had a handle on most major diseases with inoculations and preventative measures and effective cancer treatments, now we have new diseases that can resist efforts to eradicate them, causing many in the medicinal arts to be ever vigilant for more unknown viral evolutions. And worst of all, just after we discovered thousands of unaccompanied children separated from their parents, crossing our southern border and finding success reuniting them with family back home or in the States, we discovered that tens of thousands are unaccounted for, and we have no idea where they may be. The very thoughts of what may have become of them, reaching horrific levels in our minds, but ever so hopefully not in reality. In the Acts of the Apostles today, the disciples Peter and John confront these evils head on when they are faced with a paralyzed man in Solomon's colonnade. Just before reading to her today, they found him sitting in the courtyard, collecting coins thrown to him by people who showed compassion for a man that was not able to work and provide for his own livelihood. Peter and John face him and ask him to look at them. And he immediately complies, possibly waiting for the money that he thinks will be tossed in his direction. Then, by the power of God, they said to him, "In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk." People watched in amazement and immediately wanted to be in the presence of these two men who seemed to have some magical power. In fact, they are so amazed, they ran to them around the temple walls to the colonnade as they observed the crippled man, now able to walk, refusing to let Peter and John go for the miracle perpetrated upon him. Then Peter and John do something shocking. They actually begin to accost the crowds for their interest in this power and the redemption of the paralyzed man. They point out to them that the very power that was so amazing to them was from Jesus himself, the very Jesus they crucified. This power to heal and make whole came from the very man they nailed to the cross and screamed out in frenzy before Pilate that Jesus should die a horrible and painful death and a murderer be set free in his place. All the disciples knew this was an injustice done to a man that never knew any sin at all. Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, knew that this was an incredible injustice as well, and only allowed it to keep the peace in Jerusalem. But now, it was time that the people for whom Christ died knew this as well. How ironic that the very people who needed him dead were the ones that made sure that he died. For even our unrighteous acts fell into God's plan for our redemption. I mean, just look at what sin can do. It can take a world that seems to have health and longevity issues solved, and sickness can still enter the world and kill whomever it encounters. Sin can take normal, peaceable people, cause them to lash out for selfish motivations, and kill, hurt, and emotionally abuse innocent people. Sin can even cause people to bite the hand that feeds them. Sin can even put God himself on the cross. Now, sin does not ultimately win. Certainly, it causes pain, and we're definitely in a world of pain and suffering, and that will not discontinue just because our sins are forgiven. But what Jesus accomplished by rising from the dead does prove that sin's ultimate ability to destroy and kill the body is not more powerful than our God who can raise that body from the dead. Yes, children are hopelessly missing and likely dead or worse. And we all suffer and are lost because of this sinful world, and eventually, if not immediately, we'll die. But because we believe that Christ is risen from the dead, we now have hope beyond the grave. The tomb in Jerusalem was filled by the hands of sinful and wicked men, but that tomb is now empty by the power and glory of God over those who would seek to destroy the body. The body rose, the body was redeemed, and the body now has been perfected in glory, never to decay again. So we, who believe that Jesus did indeed die and rise from the dead, will also rise on the last day. This is where the real power comes in knowing God. So many of us want control. We want our say and our determination. But here in the account today, Peter and John make it clear that power comes from Jesus and is thereby channeled through us for his glory. Just look at what Jesus' name means. Salvation. Salvation for the child that is lost forever. Salvation for the one too sick to be healed by our therapies. salvation for a war-torn world with limited resources and a loss of respect for life. Calling upon the name of our Lord means salvation for the sinner who has no one left to call to. And we cannot call on it in and of ourselves. We must rely on the Holy Spirit Jesus sends to speak for us and through us. Oh, we may be confident and aware of God's limitless desire to spread the message to all who believe. They are sinners that need to be saved. But most of all, we shall give him the glory for any good thing that he does through us. Being fully aware that we have the power of the Most High on our side, knowing there is no limitation to what we can accomplish if it is according to his will. We may have challenges that face us as a congregation of Christ. Trust and believe that if God is for us, who can be against us? For nothing is impossible with our Lord when we do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens us. Now, may that peace which surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus always. Amen.